The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, award-winning author Lisa Whittle describes the first time she decided to put Jesus over everything.
I longed to be free more than I longed to have secrets from the people that I loved and had lied to and had sort of pulled the wool over their eyes for a while. So, middle of the night, it was a snowy night, I drove home from college and confessed to my mother.
Coming up on Life Today.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm so glad you stopped by. And I'm particularly glad because I have a guest today that I really admire. I admire her courage. I admire her honesty. I admire her humor. And when I got a copy of her book, Jesus Over Everything, I thought, yes. So, Lisa Whittle, I just want to welcome you to the show. It's so good you're here.
Thank you, Sheila. This is my delight.
Well, honestly, when I read even just your introduction, I so connected with that because you talked about a time where life seemed so simple, where your only job was catching kittens.
Yes.
And how much more complicated life has become. Mm. What was kind of the genesis of this book for you?
Oh, goodness. I think it was that thought in myself about, wow, life used to be so much simpler. It is so complicated. It feels so complicated now. Longing. Mm-hmm. That longing for the simpler life, longing for the sense of home, which I feel like we all have and feel simpler in some ways, right? It was also conversations that I heard people having, which were, my life feels very complicated and I don't really know how to fix it. And then also the conversation I was having with other believers, which was, I really want Jesus to be first in my life. Mm-hmm. But I also don't know how to do that. And so I began to dig into what that might look like, those two things, life being complicated, Jesus being first, and the correlation there. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to see what might happen if we put Jesus first. Could our lives be less complicated? And the answer was an astounding yes. And then what does that look like on a daily basis?
Yeah, which is what I really appreciate about this book. It's not just we should be doing this. It's a walk through how do we do this. But take us back a little bit to your life when you were younger. Were you brought up in a Christian home?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Brought up in a Christian home, a pastor's home.
Ah, PK.
PK. I know what they say about PKs. brought up in a pastor's home. And I loved my life. My life was good. It was that sort of simple life. At least I felt like it was on many levels. Running around chasing kittens. We usually lived remotely. My dad liked to live on land. I think because he was in the church and around people all the time, he longed for that sort of respite.
Sure.
And so we usually lived out on some land. And so chasing kittens around a tree house, you know, and I loved that life. And so when I think back on that, I think about peace. And I think about simplicity. And I know that I can't go back to that. And I know that there were problems then. And I think we idealize that sometimes.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the things I think is interesting, you talk about a point where you felt you were kind of living a double life.
Yes.
And needed to kind of confess that to your parents, which is a very difficult thing to do at that age.
It's difficult to do. I was a sophomore in college. It's particularly difficult to do when you have a mother like I have, who is incredible and godly. And in many ways, we have very different personalities. And so she's soft and sweet. And, I like to think I'm sweet, but she's a different kind,
a
different kind of woman that I deeply admire. But it's hard to confess things like, hey, I've been kind of living a double life. I've been this party girl in college. The Lord had worked in my life a lot that sophomore year, but that freshman year, I'd really gone off the rails. And so there were some things that the Lord was dealing with me that I needed to come clean about. I didn't want to do it, Sheila. I wanted to continue the facade. But it was clear that it was time. And that in order for my life to be all that God wanted it to be, I needed to come clean. And I was at the point where I was tired of being sick. Yeah. I was tired of the games. And I longed to be free more than I longed to have secrets from the people that I loved and had lied to and had sort of pulled the wool over their eyes for a while. So, middle of the night, it was a snowy night, I drove home from college and confessed to my mother.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did your mom respond?
Oh, wow. Well, I had prayed, first of all, on the way there that my father wouldn't wake up. That's the truth. Because I wanted to tell my mom first. Mm-hmm. We had that kind of relationship, and I needed to tell her first. And he didn't wake up, which was interesting, because that would be jarring, your child waking you up in the middle of the night. Now that I'm a parent, I can't imagine. But she woke up almost as if she was waiting on me to tell her something, which I know was the Lord, and came out to the car. We went out to the car, and I told her some things that I needed to tell her. She was gracious, and she said, I just wish that I had been there with you and for you.
Wow. What a beautiful response.
Yes, it was.
Do you think there was like healing power in confession like that? Because I think of the number of people. I get letters from some of our viewers who live with secrets and think, well, you know, I'm not like that now, so I can move on. Mm. But I wonder how much of a hold they still have when you're not able to confess it out loud.
I believe that's true, and I believe confession, it makes you well. I believe that there are just some places you can't move to, Sheila, until you experience that. And I think you and the Lord know what those are. I think that that's something private that He reveals to you. I think for me, I certainly knew that because there had been some deceit that involved my parents, I knew that I needed to confess to my parents in order to move on. And when I look back now, I really believe that that might have been one of the first Jesus over everything decisions that I made.
Because in your book, you talk about honesty over hiding.
Yes.
And I think that's huge.
Yes.
And I mean, it'll be different for all of us. For me, it was confessing that I was not okay, that I was falling apart, that I had contemplated suicide. It was all those things. And somehow, when you shine the light of Christ into those dark places, I kind of feel like the enemy loses ground.
Absolutely, because he terrorizes us with those secrets, right? He continues to prod us every single day and says, well, if they knew,
right?
Or if everyone knew, or you know, and so we live with those secrets and they make us sick and they make us unable to move on with certain things in our life because we're constantly hounded by these things. And so I think it's a hugely important part of our process. And, you know, that chapter, Honesty Over Hiding, is important because it is a Jesus over everything decision. Honesty makes us well, and truth is something that's obviously talked about in the Word all the time. He is the truth, and so it's very, very important. It is a Jesus over everything decision that we make daily, I believe.
You've got great steps in this book, and the other one that I thought was really a fascinating one, Holiness Over Freedom. Mm-hmm. Unpack that, because that's an interesting title.
Well, it's the chapter in the book, Sheila, that I wanted to write the least. It is the last chapter in the book that I wrote because it was a tough one to write. And I knew that it would be hard for maybe us to digest as believers. It's hard for me in many ways, but so important. And ironically, it's the chapter that's resonated with folks the very most.
I'm not surprised.
Because here's why it's so important. Because we want freedom and we crave it so much. But in the process of our choosing our own freedoms, right? We believe that we can make our own lives free. We're actually becoming enslaved by the choices that we're free to make.
Wow, interesting.
And so what I talk about in that chapter is the choice for holiness which, by the way, is a lifelong journey, I believe, but it is formed by our daily choices. The choice for holiness is really choosing God's way, and it will provide for us the greatest measure of freedom we'll ever know.
Wow. Steady over hype. I mean, we live in a hype culture.
Yes.
What do you mean by steady over hype?
Well, you know, steadiness, faithfulness, you know, that's the call to every believer. Mm-hmm. That's not a Lisa Whittle idea. That's in the Word. That's a Bible idea. And it's so important in this day and time. I think how that relates to us and how that affects us is in a very profound way, because if we think about society, if we think about social media, if we think about how hype, I call it hype, but we can call it, you know, emotions that run high, bandwagon, getting on these societal trends and so forth, it just affects us in such a profound way, because if we are about that, we really might speak out of turn. We might struggle with relationships. But the steadiness of a believer is to be faithful to the Word, is to be faithful to what God's called us to do. And that's what we need in this day and time more than ever.
You know, just your whole title, Jesus Over Everything, really resonated with me, because sometimes I find social media quite a challenge. Mm. You know, I'll find myself, not so much these days, but like going through Instagram, and there's a bunch of friends that I know, and they're all at some thing, and I'm thinking, I wonder why they didn't ask me to go. And there's something about, it's kind of a siren call as opposed to being faithful to the Lord and being who God has created you to be and taking the next step. Do you ever struggle with that?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you said that, it reminded me of what I write about in chapter one, which is called Land of the Deadly Overs.
Oh, yes.
And I attack that first because, you know, because our lives are complicated, Sheila, we come up with our methods and our ways of trying to uncomplicate our lives. And we get into these behaviors, which I call the deadly overs, which are things like over-apologizing, over-analyzing, over-working, over-indulging, things like that. And over-analyzing is something that I've struggled with a lot. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about, you know, well, why didn't I get invited to this? Or why didn't someone text me back? Or, you know, these things that sound silly, but these things can eat our lunch for days and days and days.
Yeah.
Because we over-analyze and we overthink. And what we think is, well, I need to control this situation right now, or my, you know, this relationship feels complicated. Mm-hmm. So let me uncomplicate it by over apologizing for why I didn't come to someone's party. But what really happens is, as we well know, we complicate it more.
Yeah.
And so putting Jesus over our relationships, putting Jesus over that fracture that's there between us and someone else, trusting that He is enough, trusting that He can help us have the wisdom to be able to know when to speak and when not to speak out on social media and things like that. Those things are so important.
How did 2020 hit you, just as a woman, as a follower of Christ, as a mother? What was that like for you?
Oh, I think it, like a lot of us, it made me stop and evaluate. It made me evaluate, what am I doing that matters? Mm. Am I living out the gospel in a way that makes a difference? How am I resting? Mm. How am I taking care of people that I love? And, you know, what do I want to be doing to be found faithful to the Lord? Certainly, I think there was a weariness that came over me. That's real. And, you know, for the first time, Sheila, I experienced something that I don't typically experience, because I'm an introvert.
Oh, me too.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, I experienced something, and maybe you did too. I experienced loneliness.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know, I can be in my home for a very long time and not feel lonely as an introvert. But for the first time, I felt lonely.
Yeah.
Maybe not for the first time, but certainly I felt lonely in a different way.
I found myself having to ask the Holy Spirit, how do I live in these days? Because I had like 30 events that were canceled,
yes.
You know, all the things that we usually go do. And it was like, I found myself kind of spiraling a little and thinking like, Lord, how do I live in a way that's honoring to You when everything I do has been taken away,
yes.
and it's just us. But I think for me, it was a really good thing.
Yes.
It reminded me, I mean, like the message of your book, Jesus Over Everything, that you can even put Christian ministry in the place of where Jesus should be.
100%. I think it did that for a lot of folks that serve Jesus in one way or another. It caused us to pause. And when you are so busy serving Jesus, whatever you're doing, you can get into such a routine and you can get into such habits, and they can even be good habits. But when you have to pause and you have to stop, you have to look inside yourself. And sometimes that's uncomfortable, but it's important. You know, that book came out a day before we went under lockdown.
Oh my gosh. And don't you just love that?
I mean, it was like, Lord, what is going on? But what was going on was, is Jesus going to be over everything, even in a pandemic?
Right.
Is he going to be over having to stay home, having to readjust your life? Do you believe what you wrote? And I was faced with those things. Mm. And I was very glad, I have to tell you, Sheila, I was very glad to have written a book that I could stand behind in those moments.
You said, I follow you on Instagram. I think you're hilarious. But you said that you noticed that holiness over freedom really resonated with mm-hmm. women, because you had this little campaign where you had them, had people hold up cards. What else in the book did you find most resonated with others?
Well, certainly the deadly overs resonated with people. Also, I talk about doing a shopping fast for a whole year.
A year? What exactly did you mean by that? I mean, obviously, you still got groceries.
Yes, we did. And we got deodorant.
May God be praised.
And toothpaste. What I fasted from in shopping for a year was from things that I struggled with that I would find myself buying a lot, which were clothes, because I enjoy some clothes.
Me too.
And shoes and things like that. That were items, decorative things for my home, because I love to decorate. I would have loved on some level to be an interior decorator. I love it.
Wow.
But, yes. But those were things that I continued to buy a lot of, and in the sense that they would fill something for me mm-hmm. When I caught myself feeling lonely or fearful or life was complicated and I just needed a fix or whatever the
right.
case may be. You know, we all
so
have our
that.
Things that we go to.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, I talk about overindulging, and those were my areas. So for a year,
wow.
I did not shop for those things. And it didn't start out that way. It started out, I was going to do it for 6 weeks. And then the Lord said to me, you're not done. And so there we go. And I did it for a year. Yeah, I talk about it in the book.
I find that one of the most helpful things because, you know, everything, I think, you know, Blaise Pascal made the most profound quote, but it's like we're made to worship.
Yes.
And I think, I used to think that was only those people who had found Jesus or who hadn't found Jesus. But I think when we restrict our Christianity to a Sunday morning or a Wednesday evening or wherever, what are we worshiping the rest of the time?
Yes.
That's why I'm really excited about your book. In fact, I'm going to let you know how you can get a copy of Lisa's book, Jesus Over Everything, because it really is my heart's passion at the moment that I find myself on my best days and my worst days worshiping him. Mm. That when I'm lonely, I sit with him in the loneliness. When I'm sad, I sit with him in the sadness rather than think, you know, well, I'll just, you know, I'll go to Starbucks and, you know, that'll wake me up. I'm trying to be more awake to Jesus. So I'm really grateful for this book. And I'm going to tell you all how you can get a hold of it. But first of all, there's something that is very much in our hearts here at Life Today. Do you know that even as Lisa and I are sitting here in the studio, there are moms in Africa who are on their knees begging God that somebody would hear their heart's cry, that they're literally, their only thing today is thinking, where on this arid, dry soil can I scrape enough to find something to make a meal for my children? They're looking for something that's very practical, very real, and the need is now. So watch this, and then I'll tell you how you can get a hold of Lisa's book.
It's not a new problem, and it's easy to be overwhelmed by its size. So many statistics laid before us. Of course, they're important, but as we look at numbers, we can sometimes lose sight of what's behind them. So what is behind these numbers among those masses? Well, there's Martino, Bronco, Vita, Adelina, Antonio, Rosidaya, Victoria, Maria, Sabina, Ana Paula, Matteo, Generosa, Adriana, Dina, Nana, Neza, Paula, Ezekiel, Chindinha, Fernanda, Esperanza, Elena, Mayodi, Estari, Nayosa, Cecilia, Tetinha, Alberto, Thomas, Emmanuel, Jenny. When it comes to numbers, the most important of all may be one. Just start by helping one.
You know what I love about that piece? So often we look at pieces like this and it's just like a big need, a group of children. But to give each child their name. The first time I had the privilege of being in Angola and being the one that was allowed to hand that bowl of food to those children who were hungry, I asked our translator if he could ask the children to tell me their names. Is each one come up? Just have a moment to look in their eyes and make contact and know that this is not just a need. This is a child. This is Anton. This is Maria. To know their names. There's such an urgent need right now in Africa. Africa's in a very, very dangerous position at the moment. To the south, there's this unprecedented historical drought where literally we're watching women scrape through the ground to try and find any kind of pods that they could cook enough to fill their children's bellies. But there's no nutrition. There's no protein. Then we go up to the north, to South Sudan, and there's historic flooding where so many women are traveling for miles to try and get their child to a place where there's dry land. And worse than that, we've had 16 of our malnutrition clinics washed away by the flooding. I mean, when I heard that, it broke my heart, because I know that some of these mothers, whose children are so severely malnourished, they've got literally hours, days to live, and they'll walk for miles to get to the malnutrition clinic, and suddenly in South Sudan, they're gone. So here's our commitment at Life. We have made a commitment to feed 350,000 children, and we are going to do that this year. And there's an entry point for each one of us. $30 will feed three children for 3 months. I mean, if I take $30 into the grocery store, it's gone like that. The thought that that would feed three children for 3 months is overwhelming. $50 feeds five. $100 feeds 10. The need has never been greater than it is right now. But I want to ask some of you who are able to, if you could give an extra gift. We need to help rebuild these 16 clinics. It's going to take roughly about 24,500 for each clinic to put beds in, to put medicine in, to staff it, so that when that mother with a last glimmer of hope makes her way to the clinic, it's there. Can you imagine showing up with your desperately malnourished sick child and the clinic's gone? We are the body of Christ on the earth at this moment. It is not an accident that you're watching. It's not an accident that I'm here. Together we can change this. So please, will you go to the phone and just make the best gift you can? Not what you can't, but if we all do what we can change the world. Please call now. Please call and let's help them in Jesus' name.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Also, please consider an extra gift to help immediately rebuild malnutrition clinics destroyed by record flooding in South Sudan. The urgent need is $392,000 above our normal feeding budget and is critical to help save the lives of those who are suffering most. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you It Is Well, Quiet Time Bundle, featuring an instrumental music CD with 12 classic hymns and a 31-day prayer booklet to help renew your soul. With your gift of $100 or more, request the No Greater Love frame print. This portrait is a reminder of our Savior's love and the price that was paid for our salvation. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I've seen in ways I never imagined. I've seen what death looks like in a child's eyes. And now what I see life in every bowl. If you want to be a part of this, and like, why wouldn't you want to be a part of this? Then just go to your phone right now and just say, hey, you know, I want to keep, hey, good, there you go, darling. I want to be a part, I want to keep this going. I want to make sure that not just in this village, but in every other village where children are starving, that we're able to simply give them one bowl of food. I mean, I've seen what happens when this is not available, and I've seen what happens when it is available. This works. This literally changes lives, one life at a time, one bowl at a time, and we can't stop now. Thank you so much. It really is an urgent need, and we're committed to help. And when you give any gift at all, please say, I want this book, Jesus Over Everything, by Lisa Whittle. It literally, it will be a life-changing journey for you and your family. And Lisa, I want to thank you. I mean, I love this, uncomplicating the daily struggle to put Jesus first. Mm. Thank you for this book.
Thank you so much.
It's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Make a big difference. So I want to thank you for tuning in. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks for staying right to the end. And remember, when you call and make your pledge to make a difference in these lives of these precious children, everyone has a name. Say, can I get Lisa's Jesus Over Everything? And we will send it to you. Till next time, I'm Sheila Walsh. God bless you.
Fox News anchor Shannon Bream uses stories of women of the Bible to encourage women today.
So I think women today experience so many of the same problems.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.